Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath. It's good to be back here. We were visiting the North last week. Very fine time. It's always good to be back home. Greetings to all those who might be listening on the webcast, either live now or later on. Special greeting to my mother and father-in-law listening in down in North Carolina. And a special greeting to our brother, Glenn Creech. I'm sure you all saw the email and the health trial that he's facing right now. Spoke to him last night. I know he was hoping to go home this morning. Don't know if that's going to yet happen today or not. If you're still in there, Glenn, we're going to come bust you out this afternoon. Good news is I'm keeping your seats warm this week. So, well, how many of you know what this is? Probably just about everybody, right? That's a cell phone, to be precise. It's a smartphone. And I think they call them a smartphone because you have to be smarter than the phone to understand how to use everything on it. And I can do about half the things that my phone offers me, just to give you a clue to my abilities there. If credit cards were the little plastic demons of the 70s and 80s, then what are these things, right? These things can overtake your life pretty quickly. They're handy to have, for sure. I find myself using the camera app on mine quite a bit, both just to take pictures of the family and, you know, always have it in my pocket so I can get a snapshot. Also find using the camera is handy when I'm working on something and I want to try to remember how it goes back together later on. Or I want to remember a part number. I just take a quick picture and I can come back and use it. For me, it is a must-have accessory, I have to admit. But it's not because I feel the compulsion to share pictures of what I'm eating for lunch with everyone all over the social media sites, or necessarily to stay in touch constantly, although that is handy. It's because of one particular app on my phone, and that is my calendar. My wife and kids can attest to you, I probably have 8 or 9 reminders a day go off of my phone, and they can be just any sort of thing. You know, remember to pick up milk on the way home for work, or hey, you got to pay a certain bill tonight, or any sort of thing. So I use my reminders quite a bit. One that I recently added not too long ago was every day at lunchtime I have a little note that comes up, says Bible study. Just a reminder to take a few minutes at lunchtime, do a little Bible study. And you might think, well, you know, Dan, do you really need a reminder to tell you to study the Bible? And I can only answer that this way, that after having put that reminder in my phone, I found that my Bible study has been much more regular, much more frequent and fruitful. Of course, ours is far from the first generation that has ever really needed a reminder to study the Bible, isn't it? Israel needed to have those reminders put in stone for them. Of course, you know, the commandments were given long before Sinai, Genesis 26:5, a few other verses show that to us. And of course, the holy days, the Sabbath themselves, those are all types of reminders, aren't they? The reminders for us of what God's great overall plan is for us and all of mankind. What purpose, then, do reminders fulfill? Might seem like a simple question. I can think of at least 3 answers. One is that they're a teaching tool. Certainly every week when we come to Sabbath, we're showing our children what God's law commands us to do. So we use that to teach our children. We also, maybe inadvertently, but hopefully in a very positive way, we're showing the world that we're just a little bit different when we take off on a Tuesday afternoon to go to some holy day they've never heard of. So reminders can be a teaching tool. The most obvious is, of course, to keep us from forgetting things. I'm not an English major, but if you break down the word remind, it's a compound word. To mind is to be mindful of, to think about something. So my dad used to tell me when I went out to cut the grass, he said, you know, mind those roots and the rocks and things in the yard that you don't hit the blades and tear them up. And eventually, of course, I would. And then he would remind me and say, you know, don't hit those roots and rocks this time. And that later led to lessons on how to sharpen lawnmower blades. And, of course, reminders also can be encouragers. Similar to maybe an annual review at work or graduating from one grade to the next if you're in school, it's a little reminder. Say, hey, look what we've done over the past year, you know. You've come a long way. Maybe this is a spiritual lesson you've learned. Or if you're in school, maybe it's a particular task or skill that you've learned. The holy days, as we mentioned earlier, remind us that we're a part of something bigger. How refreshed do we feel at the end of the festival year when we're reminded that there is something out there that's much more important than our day-to-day life that we have to go back to and live every day? We'll circle back to talking about encouragement just a little bit later on. But inasmuch as the holy days do only come once a year, and it's our day-to-day life that we do have to live every day, today I'd like to look at the Bible for some reminders that can help us in our daily lives. Reminders that can help us in our daily lives. If you like titles, I've entitled this message, Proverbs, God's Book of Reminders. We'll look at Proverbs maybe in just a little bit different way than what you might have in the past. Not just as wise sayings, but as reminders of what we should do when we face certain situations in life. In a world of technical speak and three-letter acronyms, overanalysis, political correctness, the Proverbs are often overlooked as the reminders for common-sense living that they're really meant to be. Now, this won't be an exhaustive study of the book of Proverbs. Someone was joking with me before services, said, you're just going to start in Proverbs 1:1 and go from there. I said, well, you certainly could, but we won't do that today. But I did break it down into three different areas that we can use the Proverbs as reminders in our life. The first one we'll look at is for everyday living, or what you might think of as general relationship advice. Not so much how we might conduct ourselves in a personal situation with someone we know very well, but maybe with a random encounter that we would have in the grocery store, driving down the road, or something along that lines. Maybe more in the sense where you're not dealing with a person, but maybe a situation, maybe a thing, maybe how you're planning your work or a school assignment, something along that lines. We will be covering quite a few Proverbs today, I will warn you, but the good news about Proverbs is, well, they're all in one book, and they're pretty much shortened to the point. I'll do my best to make this message the same way. Let's start in Proverbs 9, verse 9. Proverbs 9, verse 9, and I'll be reading almost entirely from the New Century Version today. Proverbs 9, verse 9 says, teach the wise, and they will become even wiser. Teach good people, and they will learn even more. Wise people, really smart folks, they're always in an endeavor to learn more, aren't they? Whether that be in business or in school, they always are looking for a way to further their knowledge on whatever subject interests them. Of course, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with going to an institute of higher learning or a work-study sort of a program to help gain knowledge on a particular project. But we certainly want to take this to heart, that we need to keep our noses in the Bible. A couple weeks ago, we heard a message from Mr. Eddington about running on fumes and reminding us that we need to keep some fuel in the tank. So reminder number one is, get the fuel we need to keep our tanks full. Of course, being wise doesn't always mean that we know every single answer right off the top of our heads. But as we say in engineering, if we don't know the answer, then we at least need to know where to find it. So let's turn to Proverbs 14 and verse 8. Proverbs 14 and verse 8, just over a couple pages here. It says, a wise person will understand what to do, but a foolish person is dishonest. So we see that a wise person, they may not know the immediate answer right off the top of their head, but they can figure out what it is that needs to be done. There's a second part of this verse, though, I'd really like to hone in on. And that's the part about what a foolish person will do. Have you ever heard someone say, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with baloney or whatever? Basically saying, fake it until you make it, right? If you don't know an answer, make something up that sounds at least good. Well, if you try this in business, that'll work for a little while. But eventually, somebody's going to figure it out. You might lose the sale. You might lose a job. As a Christian, if we do that, we stand to risk losing much, much more than a sale or a job, don't we? Reminder. We might not always know scripture and verse off the top of our heads, although that's something we should strive to do. But we should know what the Bible teaches. And if we can't answer a question directly, immediately, we can't just make up something that sounds right, we might have to say, you know what, I'll get back to you that on that and come back with an honest, solid answer. Speaking of sounding right, have you ever been in a situation where someone comes, they tell you something, and what they're telling you, it sounds right, it sounds like it's about true, but you always kind of wondered, well, I wonder if there's more to it than that. Of course, there's a proverb about this, and that's in Proverbs 18 and verse 17. Proverbs 18 and verse 17, where it says, "The person who tells one side of a story seems right until someone else comes and asks questions." Now, anyone who has had more than one child has had to apply this verse. You hear the glass break and you hear the footsteps come running in from the other room. "Dad, dad, dad." And it's whoever tells the story first is the one that's telling the truth, right? Not always, right? So we have to learn to discern the truth. Reminder, there are always at least two sides to every story, sometimes more. That brings us to our next reminder, and that's in regard to the poor. God had quite a bit to say through Solomon in regards to the poor throughout the book of Proverbs. Oftentimes when we see someone who's maybe destitute or in a bad situation, we have that first inclination that says, well, you know, what on earth did you do to put yourself in that situation? But we don't always know, do we? We don't know how that person has gotten that situation. I've seen some people who have, through a good heart, given themselves into the poorhouse, trying to help other people out, only to their own harm. But what does the Bible say in regards to the poor? Let's turn to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 13. Because quite simply, we don't always know how people got in the situation that they're in. Proverbs 21:13 says, "Whoever ignores the poor when they cry for help will also cry for help and not be answered." So if you hear someone who is in need, and if you're in a situation and you can help, then certainly we should try to do so. Most of us in this country, certainly in this room, I would dare to say, have been blessed above average, and we can help out oftentimes. We certainly must be wise when we do so, but when we see an opportunity to help, we should. When we do help, how does that make God feel? We're told in Proverbs 19, verse 17, in fact. Proverbs 19, verse 17. It says, "Being kind to the poor is like lending to the Lord. He will reward you for what it is you have done." Now, there's not much that we can give to the God who created this universe, is there? But this verse tells us that if we are helping the poor, then that's like giving to God, and He will reward that. On the other side of that, in Proverbs 29, verse 7, what happens when we ignore the poor? Proverbs 29, verse 7. It says, "Good people care about justice for the poor, but the wicked are not concerned." Reminder, we can't always help everyone, but we should at least try. But not even caring about the poor is equal to wickedness in God's eyes. Similar to the poor, we are obligated to help those who are in danger. Let's look at Proverbs 24, verse 11. Proverbs 24, verse 11. It says, "Save those who are being led to their death. Rescue those who are about to be killed." Verse 12 goes on, it says, "If you say, 'We don't know anything about this,' God, who knows what's in your mind, will notice. He is watching you, and He will know. He will reward each person for what he has done." Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a life or death situation, but when we see someone maybe in a dangerous situation, we should try to stop and help. A few years ago, I was coming home from work, and I was on a two-lane road and came into a traffic jam in a place where there's not normally a traffic jam. Got up close and found there was a car that was broken down in the lane that I was going in. And so people were going around this car as traffic cleared from the other direction. So got a chance to go around. I pulled over and I asked the lady, I said, is everything all right? You know, can I do anything to help you out? And she said, yeah, I called my boyfriend. The car's out of gas. He's on his way. I said, okay. I said, well, do you mind if I just kind of push you off the side of the road here, ease up traffic and get you out of danger? And she said, no, that'd be great. I appreciate it. So she did. And there's a nice double wide driveway to a house there. So I pushed her off into the road. And as I'm pushing her off into the driveway, a guy comes running out of the house on a cell phone. Whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? I can't have her here. I'm getting ready to show this house. Oh, this is terrible. I can't have this here in my yard. You need to get her out of here. So he was really, really concerned about the showing of this house. But he wasn't so much concerned about this lady's safety, about somebody being broken down out in the road in front of his house. The reminder is simple. When you see someone in danger, stop and help them out. Sometimes the danger isn't always immediate peril, but sometimes it's a longer-term activity that we have to stop and take note of. Let's turn to Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Proverbs 20 and verse 1. It says, wine and beer make people loud and uncontrolled. It is not wise to get drunk on them. You can probably file this under the category of duh. We probably all realize that, don't we? Alcohol is a depressant, and that doesn't mean that it makes you depressed. How people react to it varies. But it's a depressant in the fact that it depresses the neurotransmitters that help you communicate, the different portions of your brain communicate with each other. So it depresses that communication. So when you have poor communication, you make bad decisions. We can elaborate on this a little bit over in chapter 23, starting in verse 29. 23, starting in verse 29, says, who has trouble? Who has pain? Who fights? Who complains? Kind of rhymes, kind of got a rhythm to it there, doesn't it? Says, who has unnecessary bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? It is people who drink too much wine, who try out all different kinds of strong drinks. Don't stare at the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. Recognize that alcohol can be very, very enticing. Can it be? Can it? Skip on down to verse 34. It says, you will feel dizzy as if you're in a storm on the ocean, as if you're on top of a ship's sails. You'll think, they hit me, but I'm not hurt. They beat me up, but I don't remember it. I wish I could wake up, so then I could go get another drink. Alcohol can lead to a very vicious cycle. It causes hallucinations, causes sicknesses, and far too often we have witnessed this over the years in the church, haven't we? We know that Christ specifically showed that it is okay to use and enjoy alcohol. But we must be careful that we don't use this as a hall pass to excess consumption. It leads to a cycle of pain and addiction. Reminder, if you drink, do so in moderation. One potential side effect of drunkenness is laziness. Doesn't necessarily mean being passed out in a gutter until noon. Laziness can be much more subtle than that. Read in Proverbs 20 and verse 4. Proverbs 20 and verse 4 says, lazy farmers don't plow when they should. They expect a harvest, but there is none. So it doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol related, but we're reminded that if we don't do something on time when it should be done, this can cause us some problems down the road. Yeah, boss, I got those drawings done. Of course, I got them done an hour before the customer needed them, and I emailed them off and never had a chance to check them over, so I didn't catch all those mistakes that are going to cost us $10,000 to fix. Or maybe, yes, teacher, I finished my homework. Of course, it was on the bus this morning, so that's why my handwriting is so sloppy and why I'm going to lose 10 points for poor penmanship. We might technically do what it is we're supposed to do, but if we don't take our time and do it well, we can still get a bad result. Ecclesiastes 9:10 certainly comes to mind. Don't have to turn there, but you know what it says. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Going hand in hand with this idea, let's turn over to Proverbs 24 and verse 6. says, so you need advice when you go to war. If you have lots of good advice, you will win. Well, you might think, okay, what's war got to do with laziness? It's kind of like painting. You ever had to paint something? Maybe in your home, maybe a dresser drawer, maybe a car, whatever you might paint. You notice how if you don't take a lot of time to get the prep right, it doesn't turn out very good? Reminder, don't wait to the last minute to do a job. Of course, prep work does require quite a bit of planning. Let's look in Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. It says, the wise see danger ahead and avoid it, but fools keep going and get into trouble. A few years back, I took a motorcycle rider's safety course. One of the first things they teach you in that is look where you want to go, not where you're afraid you're going to end up, because you're going to go where you're looking. I experienced this firsthand shortly after I started riding. I started to pull out onto a street, and I needed to make a sharp left turn, and on the other side of the road, there was a pretty significant ditch. As I started to pull out, I saw that ditch, and I just kept looking right at it. Sure enough, I started going right for the ditch. So I leaned a little farther, I looked where I wanted to go, and you know, wound up missing the ditch by a significant margin. But we have to look where it is that we want to go. Same is true in life. If we concentrate on the negative, or maybe flip that around a little bit, if we fail to concentrate on a goal, we can wind up with a pretty poor result. Reminder, watch where you're going and plan ahead. Let's move on to relationships that are a little more personal. I had this one down, actually, this particular proverb down in the general relationship advice. I wound up moving it into this section. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Proverbs 10, verse 19. I'll explain why I moved it here in just a moment. It says, if you talk a lot, you're sure to sin. If you're wise, you will keep quiet. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, oftentimes through life, we offend people, unfortunately, one way or the other. But as I got to thinking about it, I thought, you know, it's the people that we don't know very well that often will offend by what it is we do, maybe the way we drive on the road. But it's the people that we know and we talk to that we can wind up offending by what we say. It doesn't mean don't talk to people, but it reminds us that if we talk about something long enough, sometimes we'll eventually manage to get our foot into our mouth, won't we? Reminder, sometimes we just need to say what we need to say and go on. Similar thought is found just across the page, Proverbs 11, verse 12. Proverbs 11, verse 12, it says, people without good sense find fault with their neighbors, but those who understand it keep quiet. Anybody here ever watch the old Muppets show? One of my absolute favorites. Remember the two little guys that sat up in the balcony? Remember what their names were? Statler and Waldorf. Heard someone say it, I think. Yeah, Statler and Waldorf. Remember at the end of one particular segment, got done, and they said, oh, yeah, you know, that was pretty good. And that guy said, well, yeah, no, it wasn't too bad. Well, it wasn't too bad. Well, you know, the timing wasn't great. You know, they could have done a lot better job. That was awful. And went from thinking it was good to thinking it was bad. We look a little further down in verse 27, and we're told what it is that we should be doing. It says, whoever looks for good will find kindness, but whoever looks for evil will find trouble. Philippians 4:8 certainly comes to mind. Whatever's good and pleasant, you know, think and concentrate on these things. Reminder, look for good, because if we look for evil, we'll find it. This, of course, does have a flip side, and that's found in Proverbs 24, verse 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 24. It says, don't tell the wicked that they are innocent. People will curse you and nations will hate you. Now, this is not contradicting what it is we just read. We don't want to look for evil, but if we see it, we're obliged to say something, aren't we? When we're in a situation where someone's clearly guilty of a sin, particularly a brother or sister in Christ, we're doing them a great disservice by staying silent. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Proverbs 27, verse 5, it says, "It is better to correct someone openly than to have love and not show it." Now, when we say correct someone openly, this isn't say stand there on the pulpit or announce it from Facebook, but it's saying don't hide your feelings. Be honest. Be clear with them. Don't try to cover up and give them a false platitude that what they've done is okay. If they've done something that's not right, that's contrary to God's law, we should talk to them about it, and we should be very honest and forthright about that. Reminder, don't sit by idly while others are led, don't sit by idly and let others sin to their own destruction. This is appropriate for all ages, but I think it becomes particularly applicable with our youth. Let's look in Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. It says, "Spend time with the wise, and you will become wise, but the friends of the fool will suffer." Proverbs 22 says something similar. Verses 24 and 25 of Proverbs 22. It says, "Don't make friends with quick-tempered people, or spend time with those who have bad tempers. If you do, you will be like them. You will be in real danger." You don't have to be the one who's doing something wrong to pay the consequences. When I was in middle school, there was an incident that happened at a neighboring high school. After school one day, a fellow drove home. I guess he's a junior or senior in high school. He's driving back and forth to school, and he had two friends riding with him. When he got home, he got word, via a phone call, I assume, that someone back at the school had said something about him, wanted to fight him or some such thing. So he got all upset about it. He jumped in his car, grabbed his two friends. They jumped in the back seat, and he went speeding back to the school, going about 120 miles an hour on the back of the roads through Amelia, Ohio. And if you know anything about this part of the country, there is no place where it's safe to do 120 miles an hour on the back roads of Claremont County. Well, on his way back to school, he ran headlong into another car that was doing 40 miles an hour with two kids that were just leaving school. It's like hitting a brick wall at 160 miles an hour. All five died. The two that were coming, or were just leaving school, rather, they were unfortunately kind of just innocent bystanders, I guess you'd say, a victim of time and chance. The fellow who was driving the car so fast, you know, he made that deliberate decision. He made a very poor choice that ended five lives that day. But what about the two folks that were with him? I submit to you that they made a poor choice that day as well. They were hanging around somebody who was quick-tempered. They weren't the ones who were sinning at that moment, but they still paid the consequences. Young folks, reminder, be careful who you hang around with. Finally, in regards for our personal relationships, let's turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, and let's focus a little bit more on our immediate, our family relationships. Proverbs 23 and verse 13. It says, "Don't fail to punish children. If you spank them, they won't die." How many can attest to that? Probably most of us, right? We've been there, we've done that. Although the Bible doesn't actually contain the old proverb, "Spare the rod and spoil the child," that sentiment is very closely found in Proverbs 13, verse 24. But it's a reminder to us parents that our job is to teach and correct our children. The flip side of that, kids, the payoff comes just a few verses later in Proverbs 15. It says, "My children, if you are wise, then I will be happy. I will be so pleased if you speak what is right." Kids, this is what parents want. When we correct you, when we punish you, this is what we're after. We want to see you make good decisions and be happy and be faithful and do the right thing throughout your entire lives. Of course, I would be a bit remiss if I weren't to cover Proverbs 20, or 31, rather. It's known as the Virtuous Woman chapter. Probably read through it, and we won't read through all of it today, but we'll read verse 10. verse 10 and 11 actually, says, "It is hard to find a good wife, because she is worth more than rubies. Her husband trusts her completely. With her, he has everything he needs." Proverbs 31 is a blueprint, if you will, for what a Christian woman aspires to be. But it also serves as a reminder to us husbands. I was getting dressed this morning. I was trying to find the right tie, and my wife picked out this particular tie. She said, "That's the right tie for that suit." And I said, "Are you sure about that?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Okay. All right." So I got to work, and I got to services today, received several compliments. Of course, it goes much deeper than that, doesn't it? Husbands, how many of us have ever been in a situation where we're deciding what to do and maybe our wife says, "You know, I don't know that that's such a good idea. Don't worry, honey, I can fix this water heater. No problem." About 4 hours and $400 later, you're thinking, "Wow, I should have listened." Reminder, guys, trust your wife. She is a blessing from God. Our final section of relationships that we'll talk about today is our relationship with God. It's a relationship, of course, that should be of utmost importance to us. If we find that if we have this relationship in good working order, so to speak, that all those other relationships will begin to come into line. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Proverbs 19, verse 21. It says, "People can make all kinds of plans, but only the Lord's plans will happen." I won't turn there, but a similar sentiment is found in Proverbs 16:21. "The best laid plans of mice and men often work out perfectly." No. They often go awry, don't they? Another one that I like is a similar thought and has a kind of a cowboy logic to it. It's found just a page over in Proverbs 21, verse 13. It says, "You can get the horses ready for battle, but it is the Lord who gives the victory." We might make plans, but let's not forget who's in charge. We won't turn there, but James 4 reminds us the story of the men who say, "Well, you know what, next year, let's go to this city, let's buy and sell, let's make a profit." When what they should have rather said is that if it's in God's will, this is what we'll do. Perhaps Proverbs 16:33 sums it up the best. Proverbs 16:33 says this, "As people throw lots to make a decision, but the answer comes from the Lord." Reminder, we can make decisions, but only God has the answers. Put simply, God is in charge. Inevitably, we will mess up. It's a guarantee. Leads us to our next reminder. When we do mess up, what is it that God really wants from us? Let's look in Proverbs 21, verse 3. Proverbs 21, 3. "Doing what is right and fair is more important to the Lord than sacrifices." Christ reiterated this in Matthew 12, verse 7. For this translation, I'll actually be using the New American Standard Version. Matthew 12, 7 says this, and this was, of course, after the disciples had gleaned some grain from the field to eat on the Sabbath day. It says, "But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." God doesn't just want us to obey his laws, does he? Reminder, why we should obey the law. We must also understand it and know what it means in our hearts. One last proverb that we'll turn to here. It's in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2. I think it was Einstein that said, "I want to know God's thoughts because everything else is just details." Proverbs 2, 3 through 5 carries that sentiment. Kind of find ourselves back where we started here, similar to chapter 9, verse 9. Proverbs 2, 3 says, "Cry out for wisdom and beg for understanding. Search for it like silver and hunt for it like hidden treasure. Then you will understand respect for the Lord and you will find that you know God. Reminder: get biblical wisdom, and then you will know God. Mentioned there at the beginning that we'd circle back to one of the fundamental reasons that we have reminders. Of course, we talked about that reminders exist for us to help teach each other, and teach ourselves, quite frankly. That they're a reminder for what it is that we should be doing, right? That's what reminders are there for, to make us mindful, to make us think about what it is we need to do. But they're also to encourage us, and that's where I'd like to conclude today. The Apostle Paul found himself doing this with the Thessalonians. You can begin turning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 5. He had warned them previously about false prophets. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 5. He says, I told you when I was with you that all this would happen. Do you not remember? So he was reminding them, saying, hey, remember? I said that this was going to happen. And he had warned them about the consequences of what could happen if they didn't remember. We read that starting in verse 9. It says, the man of evil will come by the power of Satan. He will have great power, and he will do many things, many different false miracles, signs, and wonders. He will use every kind of evil trick on those who are lost. They will die because they refuse to love the truth. If they love the truth, they would be saved. For this reason, God sends them something powerful that leads them away from the truth, so they will believe a lie. There are very dire consequences out there if we don't listen to the reminders that God gives us. We know that we are to be like the Bereans, and we are to study. We need to keep our noses in the Bible, reminding ourselves of God's law. Here's where the encouragement comes in, starting in verse 14. It says, God used the good news that we preach to call you to be saved so that you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is good news. There is salvation. There is glory in Jesus Christ. It's extraordinary encouragement, isn't it? Verse 15, it says, so, brothers and sisters, stand strong and continue to believe the teachings we gave you in our speaking and in our letter. That, of course, being this book that we're reading today. How can we continue to believe if we don't continue to remind ourselves of the teachings found here in this Bible? Verse 16 and 17, it says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father encourage you and strengthen you in every good thing that you do and say. God loved us, and through his grace, he gave us a good hope and encouragement that continues forever. Let us press forward, brethren. Encourage through the grace and the good hope that does indeed endure forever. Reminding ourselves daily of the wise truths that God gives us to handle our situations that we might face in our daily lives.